about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Sure. There is one thing I could talk to you about, but it's super dumb.
I would like to talk to you about one super dumb thing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
What's going on?
I was just growing some marijuana. I was just wondering how much, you know, trouble you can get into for one plant.
You're growing marijuana and you want to know how much? Depends on how big the plant is.
It didn't take long for police to track the call to Michelson's home. There they found a small amount of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Police then charged him with marijuana possession and other crimes.
Do you know my kindergarten teacher read a story to the class about the tooth fairy? And then after the story ended, she said to all of us that the tooth fairy wasn't real. I was crushed.
Man, I gotta get home. Walking Dead coming on tonight, dog.
My name is Kevin. Nice to meet you.
I already hate you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What the heck is wrong with us?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Losers.
Roll another one.
Sorry, I have to swallow.
Just like the other one.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
This one seems to be about quit.
Cool story, bro.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Killmonger was right.
Roll another one.
Everybody's outraged and they have a right to be outraged.
Just like the other one.
Amen to that.
This one seems to be about
the best. Oh, child, you know.
I don't have another cent.
Any Hispanics in the room? Hispanic? Yeah. Not so much. That's a
You're speaking my language.
Just pass it around.
Is beer mug still there?
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Make some noise.
Or just pass it on down.
And now.
I can't see your face. Are you janky?
Our feature presentation.
We always look at each other trying to figure out why we would have said that.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 4th of May.
Happy Star Wars Day, you guys.
May the 4th be with you, Bean.
Yeah. Allie, do you go home and hug your Han Solo Princess Leia pillows extra hard today?
Absolutely. I celebrate pretty much from sun up to sundown.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Star Wars related things that people have to choose from every year. It seems like it gets bigger and bigger. Did you see the story yesterday about the Star Wars pop-up bar in Chicago?
Oh, like the cantina?
No, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, they built a cantina bar. And they have all sorts of specialty cocktails, like the Dark and Stormy Trooper and the Wretched Blue Milk and the Revolution Brewing Galaxy Series beer. And they've got costume Star Wars characters there, and they got the band playing and the whole deal. Ballparks all over the country. I'm not sure that either of the Southern California teams have signed on for this, but they're doing Star Wars nights with all sorts of Star Wars giveaways and, you know, dressing up the players in costumes and things like that. So the bobbleheads.
I'd like to see the players dressed up in costumes.
Bobbleheads. They're not playing in costumes. Oh, okay.
That'd be awesome.
But if you're really into the Star Wars, there's an awful lot of things you could go out and do on a day like today, I guess.
We had the Scum and Villainy Cantina. It was a pop-up here.
Yes.
I don't know if it's even still around.
Yeah,
I guess
I
by it being a pop-up.
Most likely not.
Probably not brick and mortar.
Definition, right. Yeah.
Got it, yes.
Well, we got a lot of show today, as you know. A guest that Allie is very excited about.
Some would say two.
And, of course, it's surprising. I mean, he's talented.
It is not surprising. He is the breakout star of the year.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Take it easy.
All right.
He's my favorite new character on television, you guys, and right. I love TV.
Right.
Look, we both like him, too. We're just saying.
It's just. It's
tone
calm,
it down
calm
a little?
Your, you know.
Well, yeah. but before we get to all of that, I wasn't going to do this story, but I know that you guys would fire me from the show again if I didn't. I guess we got to talk about the serial pooper.
Of course we do.
Because if we didn't, then Kevin would burn this mother down.
It's the only thing that matters.
You were so excited yesterday about the serial pooper being discovered. Now, had you talked about this mystery in New Jersey before it was revealed yesterday that they caught the dude, or no?
This is a totally different serial
pooper. Yeah, I don't
pooper.
Think we did. I think this is a different story than we were aware of, and that led to the excitement.
Yeah.
Okay, so a high school in New Jersey, Homedale High, in the Homedale Township School District, they didn't say exactly how many days, but multiple days in a row, somebody was pooping on the football field. And surveillance was set up, and it is unclear whether that means a video camera or if that meant some poor schmuck with the school district had to be out there at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting to get eyes on whoever was pooping every day. But they caught the person. And the surprise here, and the reason why so many people were delighted by this story yesterday, not only is that this is a professional white-collar dude, Thomas Tramaglini, but he leads a rival school district in New Jersey.
He's a superintendent.
A superintendent of the Kenilworth School District.
He's a pooperintendent.
He...
Sorry. I take it back.
We don't do it quite that fast, Allie.
Okay.
So, he, again, is a surprising person to be a pooper. I think usually when we see stories like this, and unfortunately there seem to have been more serial pooping stories in the news in the last couple of years than I think I'd ever seen.
Sure.
It's apparently a thing. This guy has a PhD in educational administration. He has a master's degree from Rutgers and a bachelor's degree from Farley Dickinson.
More like PhD in Butgers, right? Who's with me?
We're going to have to
file that too.
To step out. I'm sorry.
He's going to have to do one whole session just on this story.
Since his arrest, he is on a paid leave of
absence. A pooed leave of absence. Am I right?
Okay, yes, why don't you, Evan, you're right.
Why don't you stop too, by the way?
I just want to play.
Why don't you stop too?
Again,
number
we
two.
Yes.
Oh, come on! Don't make me leave.
No, beads.
So we don't know who found the poop each day. We don't know about the surveillance. What are the charges for serial pooping? You may be wondering.
Littering.
Yes, as
is
a matter
it
of fact,
that's awesome.
As a matter of fact, he violated the state's criminal code defining lewdness. Also, there is a
lewdness. Am I right?
Yes, you are, Kevin.
Sorry, go ahead.
There is a literary charge involved also. And by the way, no mention in the story, not that we want all the scatological details here, but was toilet paper involved at all?
Oh, didn't see any details on that one.
All the what? I'm sorry, all the what details?
Scatological? Isn't that the word?
Scatological?
Yes, no. that's what the word means.
Yes, that's what it
so
means.
So funny.
Because, and the reason I bring up the toilet paper is not at all to be gross, but it's to suggest that kind of suggests some premeditation you plan on going there to poop, because his defense may be that he has I have to poop while running thing.
Right.
Right, but why does he keep going to a rival school district?
That's the thing.
Even to run.
Okay, here's my question to y'all, because we don't know. The details are slow coming here, but maybe he actually lives closer to this school than he lives to a school in his own district,
right,
and it's convenient for him to run there in the morning. Because there is a thing that runners go through where they have to poop while they run.
But don't most runners understand that and sort of are they able to judge it? So it doesn't happen every single day. To me, this has to be on purpose.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm just trying to think. I'm just trying to imagine what his defense could be and what's going to happen. As I mentioned, he is on leave now, and I don't have the details on when the trial will be. But and also, in case you're wondering, this isn't a deal where there is a longstanding rivalry between the football teams. Like twice a year, you know, it's blood on the field. There's no real beef between these two school districts. So it would be weird that he would be doing it on purpose, even if he was what Ellie? What
do you got? It rhymes with beef. Never mind. Sorry, I'm now just mouthing it to Kevin to not interrupt you.
And finally, in case you're wondering if there is a psychological explanation for serial pooping, some experts believe that serial pooping is an act of aggression, much like vandalism.
Oh.
Instead of leaving graffiti or slashing a tire to show that you were there, you leave poop to enhance your brand.
Enhance your brand?
Right.
Just find that.
I don't know.
Remember when we had a serial pooper here?
At the station, yes, I do.
Just destroying the bathrooms everywhere except for the toilet.
And I love Jed the Fish. I miss him.
We don't know that it was him. I don't.
Oh, unrelated. I mean, I just off the top of my head.
Right. But it was at least in a bathroom.
Yes, right. But not in a toilet,
which is very, very.
We had one of those at KTLA.
You did.
Yeah.
How prevalent is this
in like trash cans?
At least he's taking care of it, sort of.
He.
She. Was it you?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, there's the update on the pooper scandal in New Jersey. We will definitely keep our eyes peeled and keep you posted if we see more.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I love farts. Wow. Definitely.
Right? It's Friday morning, so we do Keep It 100. We have a Jersey Shore recap with Omar, who loves that show more than life now.
So much.
Do you want to bet on the royal wedding? Prop bets. Ridiculous prop bets.
Kevin, I've heard you say 1,000 times, everything is more interesting to watch when you've got money on it.
Agreed.
You can even endure a baseball game if you've got, you know, how often will the pitcher take his hat off? You know, something like that you can bet on.
We used to do when the catcher throws the ball back to the mound, does it stay on the dirt or does it roll off into the grass? We bet on that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Because it's baseball.
Yeah.
So you got to really have a lot of them. Also on the program today, we have Weenie Roast tickets in the first row. How about that? Front row. And we've got Anthony Carrigan in studio.
No-ho Hank.
He plays No-ho Hank on a show called Barry.
How exciting.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52. We've got tickets for you in the front row of the K-Rock Weenie Roast coming up this morning on the show. So keep listening for your chance to win those.
Is Omar in his studio just listening
so
to the serial pooper conversation and over and over again?
No. He's working on Jersey Shore. Which he loves almost as much.
Wow. Yeah. This is quite a day for Omar.
Right.
All right. Allie's here with our first look at what's happening for this Fri-yay. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, Bean. But my God, calm down with the Twitter password. Allie, you changed your Twitter password yesterday like they recommended? Hey, Kevin, you changed your Twitter password?
I'm just looking out for y'all in case you missed it. I just want to make sure y'all are safe.
Appreciate it because I'm the type of person who would have missed that in general. So.
You don't think he's protecting his best interest?
Bean?
Oh, yes.
As a stockholder?
Because stocks dipped yesterday when this came out, you guys. If you're just waking up, you should probably change your Twitter password. What happened was a bug that's now fixed said that the Twitter passwords that were stored had been unmasked in an internal log. So essentially,
they were out there for anyone to
see your passwords. But don't wait around to find out if your password was compromised. They are saying, out of an abundance of caution, change your password.
Let me ask you guys this question. Remember I bought Twitter the day it went on sale to the public, and what did I pay? Did I pay around 40 for it? Or
I thought it was 45. Yeah. But
45. Yeah, all right, let's say 45. And it got down to as low as about 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm. Right, we said sell, because that's what you're supposed to do. You buy high and sell low.
Maybe opposite.
Oh. Yeah.
Right now, it's above 30.
What?
Come back.
They had some sort of a deal recently with Disney and ESPN. I don't know exactly the details of it, but it looked good for them, and they've had some good growth lately. It's at 30 now. All right, so it's getting within 20 points of where I bought it.
Man.
Is it possible, if I continue to hang on to it, that at some point I might break even?
I'm just hoping to break even now. That's funny.
I think if I were you, this is the best it's going to get. And I would sell today.
Sell! I know that you're saying that because of the joy it would bring you when it's at 100 in about a year. But I mean,
But what are the chances it's going to be at 100 in a year, B?
None.
All right.
Really. But it's, I mean, none of us thought it would see 30.
No, agreed.
Honestly. It's been quite a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
doesn't help if they start spreading passwords around. I will tell you, that's not doing me any favors.
That's what I'm saying. All right.
So change your passwords, people.
Change them, if you will. And, of course, today is May the 4th, Star Wars Day. So how about some Star Wars news? Just ahead of the May 25th release of Solo, A Star Wars Story, Disney is launching a new charity initiative as part of its Force for Change program. What they want you to do is upload your best Chewie impression to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And then with every post tagged with the hashtag Roar for Change, from now through May 25th, they're going to donate $1 to UNICEF, which is wonderful.
All right.
But they did a really funny video about Chewie and what a diva he is.
Is that right?
Hello, I'm Ron Howard. I'm here on the set of the new movie Solo, A Star Wars Story.
I'm putting together a crew. You in?
That's yes.
Without a doubt, this is Chewbacca's best role ever.
Well, what do you know?
The problem with him is, in his eyes, this is his movie. So he's become a little bit big for his boots. Yeah, he's getting ideas above his station now.
Chewie's a complete diva.
There's a whole team of people that are just there to groom this huge beast.
And tough on the crew. Pretty tough.
Yeah.
All right, we're about halfway through.
Apparently,
if you want to keep going.
No, okay. Apparently Chewie's been a real problem. But if you want to do your Chewie impression, all you have to do is post it to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter and hashtag Roar for Change. By the way, since 2014, Force for Change has raised more than $16 million for charitable causes worldwide.
Hey, King. Wow. Hey, King. Dave, the King of Mexico, can you do your Chewie impression, please? Thank you.
It's really not as bad as I always want it to be, and it upsets me. I'm like, not bad. Not bad.
Agree to disagree.
Right.
We're not going to hear from the Chewbacca mask lady today, are we? She's not coming back.
Whatever happened to her?
Right? Remember the lady who sat in her car?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like a nut job, just
like
cracked herself up for an hour.
Delight that little life's pleasures made her happy.
There was something wrong with
Why
her.
Why do you hate joy?
Right?
I don't. It's just it was too much.
All right. A scary moment for Kevin Hart yesterday. He posted on his Instagram that as they were landing in Boston, wow, was it scary. Because the private jet they were on had blown a tire.
Oh, no.
Not a good situation. So he landed. He did all these videos. God is good. And then named everyone in his life that's dead and is an angel. It was lovely. But not a great situation. And apparently the Gulfstream 5 aircraft landed at 329 and blew a left main gear tire. He took a picture of it. Everything. It was nuts. But he confirmed in his Instagram story that he was flying into Boston for the Celtics 76ers game, and it was time for a beer. And if you watched the game last night, he had a lot of beers.
That's what that was about.
He was acting a fool. I mean, if you've got a seat right on the court,
yeah,
stay in it.
Well, especially if you're Kevin Hart, you're that famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was
dancing.
He was feeling it. He was, like, acting like he made a three to win the game. And I'm not sure who won that game, but, I think the Celtics came back from 20 down, so.
How dare you?
That sucks. Traveled all that way, almost died, and then didn't even win the game.
He didn't know, though, who won at the end, so he's good.
I'm pretty sure he did. I'm not going to lie, I enjoy drunk Kevin Hart.
Agreed.
Maybe that's just me. Some birthdays for you. Singer Lance Bass, sportscaster Aaron Andrews, actor Will Arnett, Green Day bassist Mike Dirnt. I mean, bassist, right?
Right.
Chip's waving. And surf guitar legend Dick Dale. And that's what's happening.
Tickets to the front row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast coming up in the next hour here on the world-famous K-Rock in the 7 o'clock hour on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Plus, we'll tell you how you can make some money wagering on the royal wedding. I think I got Kevin's attention.
I mean betting, yes. I'm in on gambling.
I was out, as you mentioned, Kevin, recently, and somehow Omar fell in love with the Jersey Shore, the return of the Jersey Shore on MTV?
Well, here's what happened, is that we were talking about the Jersey Shore coming back, and no one could have possibly hated it more than Omar.
Hated it.
So we said, like we do, you have to cover it.
Right.
And he came in after watching the first one, and I'm not kidding. It was a 180 degree. I am all in on this show, and he meant it.
Yeah, because these people are so ridiculous and they're so terrible that I felt so good about myself. It was therapy for me. But it was awesome.
But why wasn't that the case back during the original run of the Jersey Shore, where they were also awful?
Because you guys didn't let me know. I wasn't aware of the goodness. Okay. I wasn't watching. Okay. So this time you forced me to watch it.
You're saying it's our fault.
Exactly. Okay. But on last night's episode, guys, I don't know. This might be the last one. I think they lost me. I was on such a high because today's Front Row Friday, as we all know.
Sure.
And the serial pooper story came out yesterday.
Best story ever.
And I thought, I have Jersey. It's Jersey.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Trifecta.
But now this jerk Ronnie is just such
Ronnie,
a bad
so
dude.
So disappointing.
Damn it,
right?
Ronnie.
So last episode, we leave off with Ronnie, his baby's mama. Mm-hmm. So at the house, they don't allow any other Jersey Shore people to have their phones or be on social media.
Oh.
Okay? So they don't know what's happening. So Ronnie's baby's mama, who's somewhere back in the Jersey, and they're in Miami, by the way, catches wind of, Ronnie thinks that they caught wind of him grinding on some girl at the club.
Right.
Okay? So he's like really paranoid on what's happening. He tries to call her and she's not answering. So he's kind of freaking out. So this is the situation's girlfriend on the phone trying to explain to Ronnie what's on social media.
What is exactly like out there?
All right. The only thing I saw so far is video of you in the club dancing with a blonde girl.
Grinding or just like dancing? Like just
no,
like,
you're actually like twirling her dancing. Like,
I'm like, what?
You're like twirling her, like you're holding her hand, and then like you twirl.
Oh,
her
twirling
around.
Her, like yeah, salsa dancing. There's Spanish music.
She was like in a see-through outfit.
Well, that's her fault. I didn't tell her that. So it's not even that bad.
He's the best.
So this douchebag is trying to rationalize what happened. He clearly blacked out.
He wanted to know how bad the video was that was out because there was plenty of bad.
Absolutely. So we've all, maybe not all, but you know, I've been in a situation where you're like, oh, what happened? And you know, you feel that guilt. Mm-hmm. That's where this guy is, okay?
Right.
But he's not man enough to man up to his mistake. So he's trying to come up with any kind of excuse to tell this girl. And here's Vinny telling Ronnie what actually happened.
I don't know if you don't remember or what. She was grinding on you.
When?
When? In the corner the whole time.
What are you talking about? I was salsa dancing with her. Like, it's,
I don't know where you learn salsa like that. I don't know if like that's like he's like a salsa he saw in like a porn once or something, but anyway.
Bro, the girl was grinding on you.
Yo, it looked so bad because that girl had to have no bra on.
Exactly.
That made it even worse.
But I didn't do anything.
What is happening?
He was in the bathroom with them, right? Multiple
he
girls.
He brought them back
he
to the house.
He was in the bathroom. Yes. I'm glad you brought that up, Allie, because this is a situation, kind of explaining this situation.
Yo, you shouldn't be going into another room, closing the door behind you.
I did not close the door. And you know what? I didn't know that the door had an automatic closer out of nowhere. So the door shut. So it looked worse than what it really was. I did not shut the door.
Ronnie denies that it actually happened. He's like, deny, deny, deny.
What if this door works?
That is awesome.
That at the end of that clip, it's a clip of him actually physically grabbing the doorknob and closing the door to the bathroom.
Oh, it doesn't have an automatic closer?
It doesn't have an automatic closer.
Wow.
And does he not know that this is all being videotaped and it's going to be eventually shown?
Oof.
What kind of D-bag is this?
He's a pretty huge D-bag.
Okay, so...
But you should still feel much better about yourself. What's wrong?
Yeah, but I don't like promoting, like, a-holes. I like all the peeing that was going on. Ronnie destroying all the restrooms and, you know, just blowing stuff out was awesome.
Yeah. He liked the shenanigans.
The half-naked girls vomiting.
Dude, we're right here. You don't have to yell.
I'm just telling you. That's the kind of stuff I like.
Okay.
Okay, so Ronnie finally gets his girlfriend on the phone and, you know, he's just, like, spiraling in his head. He's out of control. He doesn't know what his girlfriend really knows. And so he gets her on the phone and he thinks that she's already seen all that Instagram and social media stuff. But has she? Let's find out.
Can we talk about what you think you saw or what you, how you feel?
I'm good. I hesitate.
I don't think that you're good because I tried to call you 9 times before and FaceTime you and you didn't want to answer. So,
well, I was at the doctor before, and then I was at the gym.
So, like, what do you think happened?
So this way I can tell you what really happened.
You tell me what you know.
Right. Wow. So I can make up a quick lie and tell you my side of the
story.
He's
such an idiot. If she hasn't seen anything, now she knows there's something.
Now she
knows. I think Ronnie needs to hire Rudy Giuliani to get this whole thing sorted out.
Right?
Totally. And so that's where we leave off with the Ronnie and his girlfriend's situation. And the rest of the episode
his
last
girlfriend
night,
is the situation?
No, sorry.
Plot twist. Right.
But the rest of the episode was about Vinny's haircut. Last night.
I'm sorry. You said Vinny's haircut.
They spent a half hour last night on Vinny's haircut because he really is very concerned about how his hair looks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So he got a haircut, and this is his reaction to his first haircut.
I now know there is no God because of my haircut.
Okay? He didn't like the first haircut.
Okay.
So they spent about 10 minutes at the first barber, mm-hmm. and then they're all like, oh, let's go to a second barber.
Okay.
Okay. And this is him explaining to the barber about what went wrong with the first barber and what he would like for this first barber, second barber to do.
Just fix what I got, and then, like, if you need to go a little lower to fix it, like, if you need to go to, like, a skin or something, you can. Usually I kind of do what you do, like, I give texture to it. So if you can just, like, if you want to texturize it a little bit with scissors and stuff, I don't want to change the length that much. So. And then the mustache, I still try to keep it natural, but.
That's on TV. Step it up, Jersey Shore. Does he like a second haircut? Let's find out. Who cares?
After this haircut, bro, I'm ready to hit the day club, the nightclub. Give me a club soda. I want every kind of club that I can get.
I'm going to club you to death, you asshole.
See, club soda. That's a club.
The only redeeming thing that happened last night is Dina. God bless Dina. Okay, so it's guy's night
Who's
out.
Dina?
Dina is this meatball. She's a meatball, Kev. Right. Come on,
I remember
dude.
Her from before. Okay.
She's one of the Snookies, one of the J-Wows. She's Dina.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain it. She's
Good
just
enough.
The girl in the house. And the guys were going to have a guy now at the club, and she joins us. And I guess Dina has a thing about falling over at clubs when she gets really drunk.
Okay.
So here's a little montage of Dina falling. I'm not kidding. 4 different times.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
Yo, meatball down. I have never seen anybody go down to the ground so quickly. She's a drunk little meatball. You have to contain her or she's going to roll off the plate. Holy it's like a ton of bricks just hitting the ground. I don't understand how Dina's not breaking limbs.
So annoying. All of you.
She gets so sucked. First, she's on the dance floor, and then she just wipes and eats. Oh, he eats it on her face, and then she eats it by the bar, and then she's on a table.
Yeah.
And Vinny's trying to, you know, bring her down because she's gonna fall again, and then she eats it again. So that brought me back in, guys. I'm still
okay.
All right.
That's good news. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Royal Wedding Prop Bets coming up just after 7, and your front row tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast next hour as well. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Well, a few weeks ago, we got some new Florence and the Machine. We got Sky Full of Song, and it made me so happy.
Yeah,
it is
she's great.
Such a good song, and it's so good to have any new Florence. Well, yesterday, they released another new single called Hunger, accompanied by a music video, and they announced that a new album is on the way this summer. Would you like to hear a little bit of Hunger?
Sure.
All right. Tell me what you need. Love her so much.
If only she had a good voice.
Right?
Right.
High as Hope, Florence and the Machine's 4th studio album, will be released June 29th on Republic Records. So, mark your calendars.
I read that this was, if I remember correctly, that this was the first album that she did not drink at all while she was making it, which was a completely different experience for her because she was one of those people who felt like she needed alcohol to be creative. And she stepped away from that, and she should be very proud of herself because everything that's come out so far sounds amazing.
Maybe High as Hope means,
oh, maybe
right?
The title's a tie-in, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Rapper G-Eazy, not having a real good time in Sweden. Apparently, he was at the club partying with his girlfriend Halsey, rapper Sean Kingston, having shots. Great time in the VIP area. Guy comes... Asked for a picture. He says no. guy came back a little while later and was like, I'm just going to go ahead and take him.
What?
So
really?
Just started taking pictures, and some problems ensued. Apparently, G-Eazy started to get a little belligerent. Several security guards approached him, trying to get him to calm down. He started throwing punches, striking one guard in the face several times.
The security guards?
Yeah.
Ooh.
He was detained by police, who then discovered cocaine in his pocket. You don't want them to discover cocaine in your pocket.
Right.
So,
don't commit a crime while you're committing a crime.
Right.
Right.
So not a real great time over there in Sweden. So, I mean, I'll stay on this story, find out what's happening with
him. I don't
think
you will.
I probably won't. Wow, the Academy of Motion Pictures. They booted, or expelled, if you will, Bill Cosby and Roman Polanski from its membership yesterday. Why so soon? Why so soon? That was 40 years in the making with good old Polanski. So, wow, kudos you.
Refresh my memory, Allie. Was he convicted of that rape?
He pled guilty. He was jailed and then released, put on probation as part of the plea bargain.
And then fled the country before sentencing.
Yeah, he was. The judge was planning to revoke the plea deal, and so he fled to Paris and has been on the run ever since.
Right. Because
so.
I was thinking about this. I was just wondering what their criteria is going to be, because they kicked Harvey Weinstein out before he was convicted of anything. It sounds like now Bill Cosby and Roman Polanski were convicted of something. Mm-hmm. But people are starting to ask, you know, what do you do with somebody like Woody Allen,
right?
Who's just as heinous but hasn't been convicted of anything. Mm-hmm. I wonder how they're gonna handle something like that.
Well, I figure if it took 40 some odd years for Polanski, maybe a couple more decades for Woody Allen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're just going to wait for all those sketchy guys to die.
Pretty much.
Basically.
Yeah. This is all citing the organization's new standard of conduct, which they developed after old Weinstein and all of that situation. Wow. There's some scumbags in Hollywood, huh? Right?
Yep.
Okay. Moving on. Some birthdays for you. Green Day bassist Mike Dirnt, sportscaster Aaron Andrews, singer Lance Bass, actor Will Arnett, and surf guitar legend Dick Dale. And that's what's happening.
Allie, you going to be able to work this hour, or are you going to be prepping for our guest at 8 o'clock?
Listen, I love the show, Barry. Mm-hmm. I think everyone on it is great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You've got, of course, Bill Hader.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You've got Arthur Fonzarelli.
Right.
Henry Winkler. Amazing.
Yeah.
But the standout star, you guys, is one Anthony Carrigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's NoHo Hank.
Right.
He'll be here. He'll be here in person.
NoHo Hank 2020.
Okay. I didn't know we were going quite that far yet, but
just saying.
We'll give it a shot.
Just
yeah.
saying.
That is coming up in your front row seats in minutes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. First, though, Kevin is still not on board with the royal wedding like the rest of us. Actually, do we have the royal wedding fun facts? Do we have
Ladies and gents, it's time for a royal wedding update, where we give you useless information that nobody should give a f*** about, but inexplicably do. It's Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018.
Allie, you going to set your alarm and get up bright and early on Saturday morning, May 19th, to watch the thing live?
No.
All right.
How are you, Bean?
You do
love the royal family.
I might.
You're doing that, aren't you?
Oh, you totally are.
Wow. I'm excited to see the queen walk in.
Wow.
But here's something that I think is going to get Kevin and perhaps others on board who really don't care about things like this, and that is that there is money to be made. I don't know if you all have been to Britain before, but that is a culture that loves to gamble. They have so many companies over there. Ladbrokes, William Hill, Paddy Power, a whole bunch more. It's a national obsession to bet on, of course, soccer, but on everything else. That's just part of how the British people are.
Love it.
So you'll be excited to know, Kevin, that there are lots of bets that you can place, what we would call prop bets, like the odd Super Bowl prop bets that we talk about once a year, on the royal wedding.
Okay.
For instance, there's some obvious ones. You can take bets on whether or not it will rain on the day of the royal wedding.
Mm, ironic.
Four to nine odds on no, 13 to eight odds on yes. Now, I would imagine they'd be cutting that one off.
I would think so, yeah.
Very soon as we get to a week out. I think that, you know, there'd be too much information on something like that. Who will attend the wedding ceremony? Now, the royal family has been extremely tight-lipped on who is actually going to be there and who's not. We have heard that we have some details, like we've heard statements from the Obamas that they are not going to be attending, for instance. But, for instance, will Elton John be there? The odds are 1 to 50. So it's overwhelmingly likely that Elton John will be there.
Yeah, I think he had canceled a Vegas show.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's like, why is he canceling this show?
Exactly. Yeah. Simon Cowell, though, here's one where you could make some money. 5 to 1 odds on Simon Cowell be there.
Okay.
Prince Harry's ex-girlfriend Chelsea. Unlikely, I would think. 1 to 2 odds. Let's see. Sean Connery, for instance. A name that just seems completely out of random.
Right.
3 to 1 odds on 007 being there. Paul McCartney, 5 to 4 odds. The Beckhams, 3 to 10 odds. Josh Stone, 1 to 9. The list just goes on and on and on. You can just pick, pick and play your favorites. All right. How best man Prince William's hair will look on the wedding day?
How it will look?
Yes.
What, you have money on good and money on bad?
Well, there are 1 to 2 odds on a buzz cut. Now, let's remember, Prince William is fairly bald. Mm-hmm. So how's he going to handle that? 1 to 2 odds on a buzz cut. 6 to 4 on a shaved head. Now, that would be quite a surprise if the prince showed up with a shaved head at his brother's wedding.
Yeah.
These seem like
I'd like to see a huge wig. Like
well,
to see that.
It's 100 to 1
yes.
on a wig.
Mm.
Yes.
By the way, wouldn't you be all in on this wedding if Prince William, the future King of England, showed up with like a giant rainbow wig at his brother's wedding?
That would be strong. But you know what? Wouldn't happen because it's the royal family.
16 to 1 on a hair transplant, which again, it seems like the odds should be a lot longer on that a week out. What color will the bride's dress be? A predominantly white dress right now is the favorite, as you can imagine, at 1 to 8. Has she been married before, Allie? I think she has.
I think she has.
Yeah, she's a divorcee.
What if she just shows up and it's red? She's like, what up? Let's do this, royal family.
Because wasn't there, I think it's not so much a tradition anymore, but for a long time, didn't most people kind of reserve the white wedding dress for a first wedding?
Right.
That was true.
Right.
So
that's before everybody realized that everyone has a first wedding.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Start a wedding.
These names mean nothing to me, but you could also place bets on who the designer will be for Meghan Markle's wedding dress. 2 to 1 odds on Ralph and Russo, 9 to 4 on Roland Moraes, Stuart Parvin, 6 to 1. It goes on and on.
Isn't that the kind of thing that they've been hyping for the last month? Is that she's meeting with designers or whatever?
But they have not revealed it. They have not revealed that yet.
Okay.
Here's a betting category. The location of Prince Harry's bachelor party. Switzerland is in the lead right now with 6 to 4. Scotland, 5 to 2. All right. Now we get into get deep into the weeds here. Other bets include the kind of wine that will be served at the wedding. 1 to 3 odds on California wine, you guys. 5 to 4 on British wine.
How quickly will the queen get drunk?
That's something I put money on.
I put money on that as well.
Allie, what were you saying the other day?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
What were you saying the other day in your fun facts that the queen forbids wedges shoes?
Yeah, you can't wear wedged heels. She hates them and she forbids you to wear them.
That's part of what drives me crazy. Yeah. Why don't you keep your opinion to yourself and let people dress how they want?
Because I'm the mother effing queen.
Right.
That's what drives me crazy. How about entertainment at the wedding, you guys? Spice Girls are at 5 to 6 right now. Elton John is at 1 to 5, so he is expected. Mm. British sensation Stormzy at 4 to 1. Liam Payne from One Direction at 25 to 1, in case you're wondering. Again, all this information has not been revealed yet, so we just don't know.
Rick Astley?
Oh, what if he Rick rolls
Wouldn't it be awesome?
I would love that.
Okay.
Now, I haven't seen for this wedding, and it surprised me. At least I haven't been able to find it on the site. But in previous royal weddings, you have been able to bet on the color of the queen's wedding day hat.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, any thoughts on the queen's hat that morning?
It's going to be a lovely mauve.
Oh, wow.
Kevin just came up with mauve.
I don't know what happened.
Think of a funny color.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
The number of worldwide viewers on the broadcast. Now, that's interesting think about.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Is that like,
include TiVo? You know what I mean? Does it include recording?
Next day numbers?
Yeah, because I think that'll be huge here, especially.
I mean, what do you guys think? You think this is going to be like a 50 million person event?
15?
50, no. I was saying?
I think this might be bigger than The other guy, William and Kate, because it's a U.S. It's an American. Mm-hmm. So we've got everybody here that's super excited
so
as well.
Plus, inflate the numbers.
Harry's better looking, funnier.
He's more popular for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
You could also bet on the honeymoon location of the happy couple. Which guests would cry? I think would be fun to keep track of. Here's one thing.
Unless you're there, though, how do you know?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of coverage on this thing. Kevin, you'll love this one because you always bet on the over-under on how long the Super Bowl national anthem will be.
Yes, correct.
You can bet on the couple's first married kiss. How long will it be? 2 seconds? 8 seconds? 35
minutes?
Oh, the queen
would never allow 8 seconds of kissing. Don't be ridiculous.
So anyway, again, you can go to the various websites for the British betting sites.
What are the odds on Princess Diana coming back?
What is wrong with you?
Wow.
Too soon.
Could I not vote on that?
Too soon.
All your goodwill from the hilarious mauve now just went right out the window.
Amen.
Finally, it's time for the only story that matters.
I guess we got to talk about the cereal pooper.
Of course, because
if we didn't, then Kevin would burn this mother down.
It's the only thing that matters.
You were so excited yesterday about the cereal pooper being discovered. Now, had you talked about this mystery in New Jersey before it was revealed yesterday that they caught the dude, or no?
This is a totally different cereal pooper.
Yeah, I don't
pooper.
Think we did. I think this is a different story than we were aware of, and that led to the excitement.
Yeah.
Okay, so a high school in New Jersey, Homedale High, in the Homedale Township School District, they didn't say exactly how many days, but multiple days in a row, somebody was pooping on the football field. And surveillance was set up, and it is unclear whether that means a video camera or if that meant some poor schmuck with the school district had to be out there at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting to get eyes on whoever was pooping every day. But they caught the person. And the surprise here, and the reason why so many people were delighted by this story yesterday, not only is that this is a professional white-collar dude, Thomas Tramaglini, but he leads a rival school district in New Jersey.
He's a superintendent.
A superintendent of the Kenilworth School District.
He's a pooperintendent.
He...
Sorry. I take it back.
We don't do it quite that fast, Allie.
Okay.
So, he, again, is a surprising person to be a pooper. I think usually when we see stories like this, and unfortunately there seem to have been more cereal pooping stories in the news in the last couple of years than I think I'd ever seen.
Sure.
It's apparently a thing. This guy has a PhD in educational administration. He has a master's degree from Rutgers and a bachelor's degree from Farley Dickinson.
More like PhD and Butgers, right? Who's with me?
Allie, we're going to have to
file that too.
To step out. I'm sorry.
He's going to have to do one whole session just on this story.
Since his arrest, he is on a paid leave of
absence. A pooed leave of absence, am I right?
Okay, yes, why don't you, Evan, you're right.
Why don't you stop too, by the way?
I just want to play.
Why don't you stop too?
Again,
number two.
Yes.
Oh, come on! Don't make me leave.
No, Beads.
So we don't know who found the poop each day. We don't know about the surveillance. What are the charges for cereal pooping? You may be wondering.
Littering.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's awesome. As a matter of fact, he violated the state's criminal code defining lewdness. Also, there is a
lewdness. Am I right?
Yes, you are, Kevin.
Sorry, go ahead.
There is a littering charge involved also. And by the way, no mention in the story, not that we want all the scatological details here, but was toilet paper involved at all?
Oh, didn't see any details on that one.
All the what details?
Scatological? Isn't that the word?
Scat?
Illogical? Yes, no. that's what the word means.
Yes, that's what it
so
means.
So funny.
Because, and the reason I bring up the toilet paper is not at all to be gross, but it's to suggest that kind of suggests some premeditation you plan on going there to poop, because his defense may be that he has I have to poop while running thing.
Right.
Right, but why does he keep going to a rival school district?
That's the thing.
Even to run.
Okay, here's my question to y'all, because we don't know. The details are slow coming here, but maybe he actually lives closer to this school that he lives to a school in his own district.
Right,
and it's convenient for him to run there in the morning. Because there is a thing that runners go through where they have to poop while they run.
But don't most runners understand that and sort of are they able to judge it so it doesn't happen every single day? To me, this has to be on purpose.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm just trying to think. I'm just trying to imagine what his defense could be and what's going to happen. As I mentioned, he is on leave now, and I don't have the details on when the trial will be. But and also, in case you're wondering, this isn't a deal where there is a longstanding rivalry between the football teams. Like twice a year, you know, it's blood on the field. There's no real beef between these two school districts. So it would be weird that he would be doing it on purpose, even if he was what Ellie.
It rhymes with beef. Never mind. Sorry. I'm now just mouthing it to Kevin to not interrupt you.
And finally, in case you're wondering if there is a psychological explanation for serial pooping, some experts believe that serial pooping is an act of aggression, much like vandalism.
Oh.
Instead of leaving graffiti or slashing a tire to show that you were there, you leave poop to enhance your brand.
Enhance your brand.
Right.
Just find that.
I don't know. Well,
remember when we had a serial pooper here?
At the station?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Just destroying the bathrooms everywhere except for the toilet.
And I loved Jed the Fish. I miss him.
We don't know that it was him. I don't
know. Oh, unrelated. Yeah. I mean, I just off the top of my head.
Right. But it was at least in a bathroom.
Yes, right. But not in a toilet.
Which is very, very
disturbing. We had one of those at KTLA.
You did?
Yeah.
How prevalent is this?
In, like, trash cans.
At least he's taking care of it, sort of.
He?
She? Was it you?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, there's the update on the pooper scandal in New Jersey. We will definitely keep our eyes peeled and keep you posted if we see more.
Our audience knows us, though, because we did receive that tweet about 100 times yesterday going,
we guys saw that.
You guys saw this, right? You guys saw this, right?
Yes, they insisted that we cover it on the show, so mission accomplished. All right, we ready for the big deal here?
We are.
Front row tickets, you guys, all day long on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day here on K-Rock. We've got them for you right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to be close enough to get Sweat On by Blink-182, Panic at the Disco, Rise Against, Dirty Heads, Mike Shinoda, and all the rest, you call us right now. Kevin, any guide for the callers as they head to phone?
I don't think so, except for be familiar with the music of the bands that we play that are going to be playing that day.
All right.
So that's about it. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play next.
Hey!
That's jarring.
That's a lot.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
Is it Front Row Friday, you guys?
I believe it is.
It has been an FM radio tradition going all the way back to about the same time as Two for Tuesday, I think.
Sure.
So Front Row Friday, we mean it this time around because the 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast is happening a week from tomorrow, you guys, at StubHub Center. You can still be there if you want to pay for some tickets, AXS.com. They're on sale right now, and why wouldn't you? It's a fantastic lineup. But perhaps you'd prefer to win them in the front row right now at 1-800-520-1067. This game's called Just a Second.
Just a Second! Now, normally we tell you what band it is. Like, we'll take Blink-182 and we'll play all Blink-182 songs so you know that it's at least that band. But this is Front Row.
Yeah. You gotta work for it, man.
So we're going to play Just a Second. We'll play it for you twice, but it'll be from any one of the bands that's playing Weenie Roast. You have to give us the band or artist and the song title. Both.
All right. They're all songs. Look, if you want to go to this show, it's because you love the music we play on K-Rock and you've heard all these songs. So we're not trying to fool you here, but you are going to have to pay attention and good luck.
All right. Let's start with Shane in Santa Clarita. Hi, Shane.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. You ready?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to play it for you twice. One more time.
Okay. I know it's Panic at the Disco.
Yep.
Yes.
Panic at the Disco. The name of the song is?
Hold on. One second.
Hang on while I Google.
Don't really have time for the Googling, but you were looking for I Write Sins, Not Tragedies. Sorry, man.
Could never, ever, ever, ever win this game. Just wouldn't be possible for me.
And you know and love that song,
yes.
But still it's a question of being on the spot and having to come up with the title.
Stephanie in Cyprus, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for holding on. You ready for your song?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to play it for you twice. One more time. Did you say O like you know it? Yes?
I think so. Yeah, is it No Roots by Alice Martin?
Look at that!
Definitely.
Nicely done. Hold on. How about that?
You are in the drawing. Everyone who identifies their Just a Second song is in the drawing. Someone win tickets in the front row.
All right. Raul in Valencia. Hi.
Hey.
Are you ready for your song?
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck. Here you go. Black on. One more. Black on. How could you figure out what that is? Hello?
Raul.
Yeah, I know what it is. It's,
yeah, we gave you two out of the, yes, it is. By whom?
Bishop Briggs.
Yes.
Correct.
Nicely done. Black on
river, black on river. He got gifted two out of the three words of the title.
Right?
Guys.
All right. Let's go to Alex in Los Angeles. Hi, Alex.
Hi, party people.
We are doing
Just a Second.
Are you ready for yours?
Ready and willing.
All right. Going to play it twice. One more time.
Okay. Well, I know that that's Rise Again.
You're correct. Name of the song is?
What's the name of the song? Don't Hold Me Down. No, I forgot the title. It's The Refugee.
Yes, close. Expand on that just a bit.
Oh, I know it's a verb somewhere in there, too.
come on. Can we give it to him? We can't, can we?
I don't think so. Plus, it's not a verb. It's a noun. Prayer for the refugees, or prayer of prayer. The refugees. Is what we're
you could be in prayer. It could be a verb.
But it's not.
Sure.
Not really the point.
I no. do feel Off feel track? Bad for you because you were so close, but thank you for playing anyway. See, I know it's hard, but it's also the front row.
Right. Let's go to Eddie in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you for holding on. We appreciate it. Are you ready?
I am.
Here you go.
Mom.
One more time.
Mom.
That would be the... Dirty Head?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
The song is called, what's it called? Celebrate.
Celebrate is correct. Wow.
Mom, if you can hear me, I think I made it.
How's that?
I'm very impressed that he pulled that one out. That's a good song, too, by the way. And let me tell you something about the Dirty Heads. Perfect band
Agreed.
For a sunny Saturday in May at the StubHub Center.
Agreed. Alex in Woodland Hills, good morning.
Hey, I answered for the other Alex and thought I got Prayer the Refugee right.
That's
well,
sad.
That's too bad. Are you ready for yours?
Ready.
Here you go. One more time. What?
That's Cold War Kids.
Yes.
I think it's First.
First.
Yes. Nice.
Correct. Nicely done.
All right. Let's squeeze in one more contestant and potential winner, shall we, for front row tickets for the K-Rock Weedy Roast.
Robert in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Thanks for holding on. You ready for your song?
Let's do it.
Here you go. One more time.
I know that's Blink-182.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. God.
Close.
Finish that word.
Close. God.
No.
Finish the word.
Think of it.
Come on. You know it.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
You know it. Say a word.
God.
Damn it.
God.
Yeah, we did try. It's damn it. I'm sorry you didn't get that one. All right. Let me see. Some great contestants, Stephanie, Raul, Eddie, and Alex, all in the running. Someone is going to be up close and personal with all the bands a week from Saturday at the StubHub Center for the 26th Annual K-Rock Weenie Roast. Only Miss Allie McKay knows the winner's name.
I mean, he legit got two right. Alex in Woodland Hills.
Yay! Oops, wrong line. Hello, Alex. Congratulations.
So much heartbreak at first, and now I'm so happy.
You got the tickets. Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game.
Just a second!
That's some exciting news, right?
Yeah.
Cornholing, right? Who's with me?
I don't need...
What?
Not only that, the sport.
Yeah, right. I don't think you need to say cornholing.
It's the cornhole championship.
Yeah, but cornholing...
That's what the act of...
Is it?
Uh-huh.
This is happening on ESPN2 Sunday afternoon, you guys. It's the Cornhole Championship from Johnsonville, apparently. Mm-hmm.
So. ESPN is really covering some stuff. They're really branching out, I feel.
There's not a lot going on with, you know, the NBA and the hockey. Hey, two very exciting things happening. One is our guest just after 8 a.m. is the very fine actor Anthony Carrigan, who has been on lots of things you know, including The Flash, including Gotham, including Parenthood. But he is the breakout star of the year on HBO's Barry, and we're very excited about Anthony joining us. That's coming up just after 8. And the other thing is Ali is here with another What's Happening.
You guys, you know my love for the show Barry. You know my love for...
No, you haven't brought it up.
I know, it's weird. Anthony Carrigan, love him. NoHo Hank is my favorite. Well, Bill Hader was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was dead asleep, as I am in the evenings. But thank God for Dateline's Josh Mankiewicz, okay, who sent me a text and said, hey, did you catch this last night? And then sent me the clip. And I thought, wow, Josh Mankiewicz is
really... What a nice person.
He is on top of it. He is a great producer.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Josh Mankiewicz. But Bill Hader was, again, on last night talking about Barry. And Jimmy asked him to do his most obscure impression. In case I didn't love Bill Hader enough, we are kindred spirits.
I did the guy on Dateline. You remember the guy Keith Morrison?
Yes, I do.
I love Dateline. Do you guys watch Dateline?
Do you really love it?
It's my favorite show. It's the only I love true crime shows. And Keith Morrison has that real folksy kind of way of talking. He's like, so you saw your father shot in the face. I don't know. Well, that must have been a while. And the other people on it I love is Josh Mankiewicz.
Oh, wow.
Josh Mankiewicz is the best because he kind of has...
He kind of has a stuffy nose.
He's always in Aruba.
It's like, the guy killed someone in Cabo San Lucas, that's mine.
Like, he always gets the best. He always says, you could have a drinking game with this every time he'll do this.
He goes, so you found a dead... Now, most people, when they find a dead body in their house, they call 911. But you didn't do that, did you?
You guys, he nailed Josh Mankiewicz.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was so impressive. By the way, the first time I ever met Josh, I told him what my favorite of all of his lines on Dateline was.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is how he started the show. It was a friendship forged in meth. And I was like, I am in. I am in for this story.
That's awesome.
Oh, he's the best. Josh Mankiewicz getting love on Jimmy Kimmel from Bill Hader.
And sending you the clip himself.
I know. At first I was like, oh, that's cool. He talks about Keith Morrison. Then I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing, Josh. Well done. From the best news to sad news. They announced yesterday, a year after signing a new 4-year deal with TBS, they're going to reduce Conan O'Brien's late night series from an hour and a half to a half hour. The kids and that instrument, very upset. Yeah, that's starting in 2019. They're expanding their partnership with O'Brien's Team Coco, and they've unveiled plans to expand its touring and online efforts connected to the long-running late-night series. Here's my favorite quote from Conan. It's still going to be me hosting a very silly show, but I want segments on my half-hour program to link to digital content, deepening the experience for my younger fans and confusing my older ones, which is fantastic. But did you know that Conan actually has the youngest audience of any late-night series? And very impressive digital presence, more than 3.4 billion video views.
Wow, wow.
So that's smart of them to be kind of transferring that over. But it's still four nights a week. It's just going to be half an hour.
I didn't know his show was an hour and a half. First of all, I thought it was an hour.
Mm-hmm. No, it was an hour.
Ali was saying only an hour and a half.
No, it was only an hour.
I'm sorry, hour a night. Did I say hour and a half?
Yeah.
Oh, because see, I rewind and I just watch segments over because it's Conan.
30 minutes, though. I wonder if things are going to go that direction for late night talk show hosts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
An hour is long. Hour and a half, even longer.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, it's hard to argue with both of those.
So half an hour, shorter than both.
Right.
Listen, I'm here for all of your time needs. Mm-hmm. This is exciting. A big screen version of smash hit Monty Python Broadway musical Spamalot is in the works. Who's with me?
Me.
Okay. Eric Idle is writing the script with the Mean Girls and Book of Mormon director Casey Nicholaw. He's going to be behind the camera. Casting begins soon with shooting set for next spring. Spamalot, you guys.
I don't like spam!
All right. Sorry about that. Remember yesterday we talked about Kanye West and his new Yeezy line coming out. What's sure. happening? Has Adidas even put out a statement? Well, they now have. They are not going to drop Kanye West's Yeezy line, at least not yet, despite all of his controversial remarks, including slavery being a choice. Adidas CEO Casper Rorsted told Bloomberg in an interview that while the company does not support his recent comments, they're not discussing dropping him as a designer. Keep that money coming.
And by the way, in all fairness, Kanye West gets it.
Boop-dee-dee-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop. Poop-dee-scoop-dee-scoop-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-whoop-poop. Poop-dee-dee-whoop-scoop. Poop. Poop.
That's real, you guys.
Yeah.
That's a real song.
Yep.
From Kanye yep. West. That's out.
I mean, I feel like it's a troll of a song, but yeah.
My wife had a theory about that song.
Yes, please. I was trying to...
Is it possible that Kanye is spending a fair amount of his time potty training his young kid right now? And this is something that he, I don't know, kind of made up baby talk with the kid, and he just thought it was funny, and it became a family joke or something like that, and he just thought he'd share it with us.
I think that's cute that you think him or his wife even know they have kids, but listen, well, who am I to judge?
they do trot them out for the photo shoots, so at least sure. they're aware they exist, but you right. don't think they're doing any of the actual parenting, maybe.
Maybe.
We were just it's trying possible. To figure out why where a song like that would even come from.
I mean, it has to be it's either straight trolling mm-hmm. or just his sense of humor. It has to be one of those two.
Known for his sense of humor, for sure.
It can't possibly be real.
Mm. Yeah.
It can't.
And by the way, in all fairness, mm-hmm. Kanye West gets it.
Okay. Yeah, you've mentioned that.
I just love Trump. That's my boy.
Right. Omar has a theory that the verse is just a placeholder until he replaces his album, in which time he'll put a real verse in there.
All right.
Huh.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Right. We'll find out in June.
Can't wait. Birthdays for you. Lance Bass, Aaron Andrews, Will Arnett, Dick Dale, and Green Day bassist Mike Dirnt. And that's what's happening.
Away.
You guys watch the show Barry? Do you watch Barry? Do you watch that show Barry? Do you watch Barry? Do you know Noho Hank? You know Noho Hank?
Look.
We should have him in. We should have him in. We should have him in.
Look,
right?
That's all Allie has been talking about for about 3 months.
And right. you're welcome to everybody that actually listened to me. I get so many tweets and so many Instagrams like, dude, I was like, shut up, Allie. So I watched it for you.
Right.
Totally right. Thank you.
Well, Allie's dreams have come true, ladies and gentlemen. The breakout star of the television season this year, Anthony Carrigan, is in studio with us right now. He is NoHo Hank on HBO's Barry Sunday Night.
What's
Anthony.
Up, you guys? What's up? What's up?
Welcome.
Good to be here.
Welcome. How about that? How about that rocket ship that we introduced you with, that Johnny Cash song? Huh?
Oh yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, starting the what is it? Friday off.
Yeah,
Friday off with a bang. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Friday song.
Absolutely, getting everyone amped for the weekend. You know.
Well, Anthony, I don't even know where to start with you, but what I imagine your guy's been in television for a long time with lots of success on shows like The Flash and Gotham. You know, going back years and years. But this year must have just amped everything in your life up to a whole new level, right?
Yeah, it really has. You know, I mean, this show Barry has been so special. I mean, I like to call it like a unicorn show because it's got such a good script, such a great cast, you know, an amazing team of creators, and it's on HBO. You know, it's
yeah.
you really can't get much better than that. And so, you know, and the response has been fantastic. You know, everyone's been really enjoying it.
When you when a role like that comes up, you were one of many actors, I assume, who read for the part of NoHo Hank. What kind of direction did they give you in terms of what they're looking for?
You know, they didn't really give me anything.
Is that right?
Yeah, I pretty much just came in and winged it. And, you know.
Did you wing it as the character is now? Is that how you interpreted it?
Pretty much. I did some kind of fine-tuning as we went along, but, you know, for the most part, I was pretty much just
explain to people what your role is and then how you play it.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's at odds.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay, so Noho Hank is a Chechen mobster who hires Barry to come out to Los Angeles to do a hit. And you know, so you think, okay, Chechen mobster, he's covered in tattoos, he's probably just a super bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was like, okay, I know that everyone is going to take this in the direction that, you know, you think it's going. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go in a completely opposite direction, make him super nice, very sweet, very optimistic.
So polite.
And a bit of a people pleaser. Oh, he's so polite.
Oh, he just wants to be your friend. He wants to text you about hits.
Absolutely. You made up that part, that interpretation of that character?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's awesome.
I mean, I think it was, you know, it was definitely in the script that he was polite, but, you know, I wanted to make sure that I brought as much sunshine to the character
very
as sunny. Possible.
Very, and, very just loose and don't care and handing out food and just...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, the whole kind of organized crime aspect of it, it's like, you know... Sure, he'll blow up your car, but but he'll get you like a great deal at a car rental place because
sure.
he knows a guy. You know, it's like.
So when you're in the moment in the audition, do you get a read on how your audition is going over? Like, can you see them getting excited by watching this transformation come over you?
Because
it's
got to
be so, it's so different. Yeah, because it's so different from everything else they saw that day.
That's Well, funnily enough. You know, we actually had to stop the audition halfway through because, you know, the person I was reading with couldn't keep it together.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's
so
a
I knew
good sign.
I was like, it was a great sign. I was just because I was so nervous going into it, being like, I don't even know how this is gonna land.
Well, you're sure taking an extreme chance,
right?
Because if they don't buy into it, it's a zero chance of you getting that role.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, go big or go home. You know?
And what's really interesting is that this show is not a comedy, but it has very, very funny minutes. So you also have to go, well, am I you know, putting too much in one direction?
I think it's a comedy. I think it's a dark comedy. You don't?
I think it's very dark.
You think it's funny, Bean? He's right here.
No, That's I think
really,
it's very funny.
It's mean.
But it is also very dramatic, and there are very real stakes. I mean, people are being shot and killed on this show.
Oh, yeah.
So it definitely is serious as well.
Yeah, it's so funny.
So good.
I mean, but, you know, I think the thing that the show does really well is it kind of, you know, it has this comedy, which is really amazing because of the cast, and it has this really, really dark, dramatic side to it, and it switches in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it throws people because you're not ready for it when it does switch. And I think that's one of the things that it does so, you know,
yeah.
So
there are a lot of shows and a lot of movies that try that and fail
because
it's that weird line to walk and they just can't pull it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How about the Chechenian aspect of the audition? Was that something that gave you any trouble?
Well, you know, I definitely did my research. And by research, I mean I just watched a ton of YouTube videos.
That is research these days.
Yeah, that is research these days. But, you know, and so I essentially part of the kind of winging it aspect of it was just going in and being like, oh, I hope I'm not literally all over the map with this accent. But we did get someone in who's a specialist to come in and help us with, you know, certain sounds. And thank God that person came in because, you know, when you're – a lot of the stuff we were doing was improv as mm-hmm. well. So when you're improving in an accent, it gets really, really tricky.
What's the most difficult thing, a part of doing the Chechenian accent?
Well, there are just certain sounds that you know that aren't at home in like an American's mouth, you know,
right.
Like tripping the R and like, you know, certain ah sounds, you know, saying
you say ass sounds?
body oh. instead of Barry, you know. So it's one of those things you just got to kind of keep in the back of your mind and.
Yeah, and try to keep it consistent, like you said, not wander. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine ad-libbing opposite somebody like Bill Hader, who's got a whole career full of it.
Yeah, no big deal. Wasn't
right?
You know, wasn't
just Bill Hader.
Wasn't daunting at all. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, and Stephen Root. Oh great,
Stephen Root's awesome.
Right.
Also
yeah, that guy. Yeah. Never heard of that guy before. You know, not my idol in any sense.
Henry Winkler, for God's sake.
Yeah, Henry Winkler.
Come on,
like,
I read in an article that on your first day of shooting, once you had rapped, you were like. can we do more? Like, oh, you were so into it. You're like, let's so just pumped. Do more, you guys.
I just wanted to stay on set, you know? I just wanted to hang out. So, I mean, it was so much fun. And also, there were just, you know, there's all this different stuff happening with the acting class
right, with
portion with Henry Winkler. And,
I wanted to ask you about that, Anthony. Yeah. How realistic – I know nothing about acting classes. How realistic is that class that Henry Winkler's character is putting on?
Well, so first of all, definitely take an acting class because it's so much fun. And it is actually quite realistic.
Is it really? Because I felt like he's just being goofy for the sake of being goofy to make it interesting.
No, but you'd be so surprised.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing about these characters is they are so kind of colorful and all over the place. But that's also Los Angeles.
So
you know?
You could literally go to a class like that.
Yeah.
With that instructor.
Yeah, you really could.
Do they make new actors really do Shakespeare? Because that seems like a tough thing out of the gate to attempt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love Shakespeare. I used to do Shakespeare in middle school.
Same. Yeah, but you're really, really talented. Most of those people in the acting class probably aren't and aren't going to make it as actors. And it just seems like that's asking a lot. You know?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that's the kind of, you know, just the really sweet and wonderful thing about the acting class is, you know, they're about the craft. They're about, you know, really kind of bringing honesty and truth to it and not making it just commercial acting, you know?
Are there super bad classes that you can get in that are just horrible and just tear you down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they'll take all your money, too. So go wild.
Well, as if Henry Winkler wasn't already a national treasure, this is one of his greatest roles, right up there with Arrested Development. I mean, he's amazing on this show.
He's amazing. He really does.
And the nicest guy you've ever met in your life, right?
Ever in my life. I mean, I think he's known notoriously throughout the world as just the nicest man. You know, he's just, he's a gift to humanity.
I ran into him at an airport, and I said hi because we'd had him on before. And then I realized, you know, okay, my time as the non-Henry Winkler part of this conversation is over because Henry Winkler has more important things to do.
Right.
And he's going to walk away and go somewhere else and talk to somebody more important. And he just stayed there and was chatting and asking questions. And I was like, are you supposed to be walking away from me now because you're Henry Winkler?
Oh, yeah.
That's who he is.
It's like he always has something in the tank for you know, people to talk to and
he's genuine about it.
And he's so genuine.
Yeah.
He's the sweetest, sweetest man. In fact, well, all of you guys, if you ever meet him, go talk to him. Tell him I say hi.
It is one of the best casts on TV, one of the greatest shows on TV right now. It's on HBO Sunday nights. It's called Barry. Anthony, we want you to stick around because we love talking about the show, but you also have a fascinating personal history, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of that with us when we come back, okay?
Absolutely.
Be right back on K-Rock. Anthony Carrigan, our guest in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is on HBO's Barry Sunday nights. You probably get recognized on the street, I would imagine, every day from your Gotham work too, Anthony?
Yeah, I definitely do, you know? I mean, it's not like people cross the street while I'm walking to them all the time, but, you know, people certainly come up to me and be like...
Cross the street away from you?
Yeah, people come up to me, you know, and just be like, dude, you're so creepy. And I'm just like, oh... Cool, you know.
Thank you.
I was acting, but, you know, that's great to hear.
You hope when they say that you're so creepy that they have seen you on TV at least. They're not just seeing you on the street.
Yeah, if they were just saying that, you know, on their own accord, I don't know how I'd feel about that. But
Now, I want to ask you about this because we talk to a lot of actors on the show, and for a lot of people, it is years and years and years of trying to get work or barely hanging on. They're getting an occasional job. But you moved out to California in about 2008, right? And it looks to me like you have been working ever since.
Yeah.
It was a pretty easy ride for you.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It was an interesting ride for sure. I mean, I was, you know, very fortunate enough to start working pretty much out of school. But I went through an interesting phase because when I got out of school, I had hair, I had eyebrows, I had eyelashes, which, you know... I do not now.
Which all went away?
It all went away, actually, during one job.
Is that
right? In 2009, I was shooting a job and it lasted like 9 months. And about 6 months in, I lost like half my head of hair, both eyebrows, eyelashes.
I didn't know that it
happened. And we were scrambling to like make it look normal. And then after that time, I kind of tried to get it to grow back. I put on like... wigs and hair pieces and fake eyebrows.
Injections.
Yeah,
did you do all of
totally.
That?
Totally. I did all that stuff. It's so uncomfortable.
I didn't know it came on that quickly.
Well, it can. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. You know, it's not stress related. It's just kind of, you know, it comes and goes. You know, and
I'm confused, Anthony, and forgive my ignorance, because you've been very outspoken about having alopecia. You're kind of the face of it in America right now. But you always talk about how you were diagnosed with it at age 3.
Right.
Then why did your hair fall out then so many years later?
So I had alopecia areata, which is essentially when you have bald spots. And, you know, as a kid growing up, it would kind of range between just having spots the size of like a quarter to, you know, much, much larger spots.
Oh, so you always had.
So I always had it. But then, you know, alopecia universalis or alopecia totalis, you know, is when you lose all of your hair. And that's essentially what happened to me just, you know, a few years ago. And I made the decision to, you know, just embrace it and say, you know what, I can do this and I can kind of take a new direction. And not everyone believed in me, but I believed in myself. Was that the most important thing?
Was that a difficult thing to, did you consider not going on or not continuing?
Yeah.
Just because
in
Hollywood, it's so all about your looks, but you've used it to your advantage.
Oh, definitely. And I think a lot of people had a very specific idea for what I was supposed to be. And I always knew that, like, I'm going to make it. I know I can do this. And, you know, and also the people who didn't believe in me kind of helped me along as well, because they were, you know, they gave me the kind of fuel to really keep going.
The first time I ever tweeted about Barry and NoHo Hank, I immediately got a tweet from a man named Rob O'Neill, whose daughter has alopecia.
Oh, yeah. No,
said,
Rob. Yeah.
He was like, you don't understand how much he does for children and inspires them and just changes the way that they feel about themselves. It's almost like that has become, I don't want to say your reason for all of this, but wow, what a platform and what wonderful things you're doing with it.
Well, honestly, for me, I mean, I never had anyone growing up with alopecia that I knew. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt very alone. I felt very kind of isolated, and it was definitely hard for me. In fact, you know, one of the things that I said at my very first camp with these kids was that I felt like a unicorn, you know, just the only one of its kind growing up. And then, funnily enough, since that time, the unicorn has become our kind of symbol.
Symbol, yeah.
And so, you know, we have like these unicorn themed parties. I mean, I run around in like a unicorn onesie. It's hilarious.
Do we have any pictures or video of that?
I've seen a picture of you posing on a Mustang in a unicorn onesie.
Yes, that
I don't
did
know if
happen.
I was supposed to see it.
That was a fever dream, Allie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I know. You can just hear the Def Leppard playing in the background.
Well, Anthony, I have to also think, because you've done so many roles as the heavy or as the villain on shows like, you know, The Blacklist and Gotham, that must be another reason to love NoHo Hank, is it gives you a chance to be the funny guy in the room, too. And that opens up a lot more possibilities for you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the trajectory that I want to start taking is playing more, you know, more nuanced roles and even just, you know, maybe even like playing a romantic lead at some point. You know, I feel like I like to kind of surprise people. So I don't want to get pigeonholed as just the villain. I love playing the villain. I think it's really fun. But, you know, there's so much more out there, and I know that I'm capable of doing it all.
Well, this version that you're playing in Barry is so much better than just the heavy.
Amazing.
Right.
Than just the villain. I mean, it's so much better that way.
Thanks. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, playing against what is written, I feel like is way more fun than just kind of going with the flow.
I'm going to say this. If you are not nominated for an Emmy, as well as Brian Tyree Henry, Paperboy on Atlanta, hopefully at different times so I can root for both of you. Something's wrong, and I will burn this down.
Okay.
Okay?
Define this. What are you going to burn down?
The
this.
The Emmy people's homes?
That seems right.
It seems
too
aggressive.
Extreme.
Yeah, that's maybe a bit too extreme. Maybe we can, you know, like a nice controlled fire. I mean,
pull that back.
Okay. All right.
Pull
we'll
back
dial it back.
We'll get a bonfire going. You know what I mean?
Done.
It'll be more symbolic than
anything. Good point.
Trying to get Allie out of the hole she just dug.
Well, Anthony, I think you can tell what big fans we are of you and of your show. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, I really, really appreciate it, you guys. And thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Barry, HBO Sunday night. Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Is it time?
It is.
All right. Keep it 100. One of our favorite parts of the whole week. Every Friday just after 9, we play any song you want that you've ever heard on K-Rock. If we've still got it, we'll play it for you. And by the way, The guy who texts every week for Under the Bridge.
Right. He's being funny. Cut it out, sir.
Oh, there's a lot of people that are funny that way.
But whatever song you want to hear, especially something that'll get you to a Friday in a good mood, 1-800-520-1067. Here are some of the selections you've made in the past. I'm so sad I was not on the show for Pass the Dutchie,
right?
By the way. That's awesome. That was missed, 420, right?
Yes. It was 420.
And you missed Allie performing the whole thing.
I did the whole thing. Stryker helped me out. That's Stryker right. knew a lot of the words, too.
Good All right. Time. Text this right now for your favorite K-Rock song. Something you want to hear, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play it for you just after 9. Allie is here with What's Happening.
Bean, that reminds me, the Pass the Dutchie song. We did a whole segment on songs you had no right singing all the words to as a kid. And Stryker said he had no idea singing that growing up that it was about, you know, passing weed.
Right.
Right. Right.
And then I remembered that my song that I had no right singing every goddamn word to as I was roller skating because my babysitter would take me to the roller rink because she had the hots for the guy in refreshments. So it would just be me out there skating alone to White Lines. Just singing every word and getting so excited because I would jump at the part and go, free bass!
You knew more about cocaine than no. any other 10-year-old.
No, she no idea.
She didn't know anything about it.
No idea for probably another 8-9 years.
Oh, please, 8-9 years.
That's awesome.
How dare you? How dare you?
Hey, Allie, have you seen the big Star Wars news today?
No, what?
Because you know it's May the 4th be with you, right?
Yes.
Han Solo tickets on sale now.
Why wouldn't you tell me that earlier so I could have gotten the opening night, Thursday night?
They're on sale right now. Available. You could probably do it right after this report.
Yeah, but maybe they're sold out for Thursday night.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, but they just went on sale a little while ago.
This is why you fail.
For a Solo, a Star Wars story. They put them on sale on Star Wars Day, which is kind of neat.
That's pretty good. I have to say, I was pretty vocal about that first trailer.
Huh, really?
Yeah.
We didn't notice.
I wasn't thrilled with it.
Really?
I was nervous. And I was nervous. Thinking, this is not a good idea. And then the second trailer came out, and I was like, damn, I'm in.
Right.
And then everything since then that they've put out, I'm like, how have we not had a Han Solo biopic? I'm really excited. Speaking of Star Wars, Star Wars Day, May the 4th be with you. Are you fluent in Wookiee? Have you been practicing your Chewbacca roar since 1977? Well, Disney has a social media challenge for you. Just ahead of the May 25th release of Solo, a Star Wars story, Disney has launched a new charity initiative as part of their Force for Change campaign. Here's what they want. They want you to upload your best Chewie impression to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, and then just hashtag Roar for Change. That's now through May 25th, and Force for Change will then donate $1 to UNICEF to help support life-saving children's programs around the world, up to $1 million.
Can I do my impersonation for you?
Oh, I'm waiting. Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Not
right?
Bad. That was actually, it was almost as good as your Alf.
Thank you for noticing.
Let's hear it.
It's not Alf Day.
Come on.
It's May the 4th be with
but
you
just
day.
But it's Chewie adjacent.
No problem.
But you have to say Willie. You have to say Willie.
No problem, Willie.
I mean.
That's it. I'm out.
It's unbelievable, the talent that you have. It really is. Again, just put it on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, your best Chewie impression, and hashtag Roar for Change. By the way, since launching in 2014, Force for Change has raised more than $16 million for charitable causes worldwide. What? Oh.
Hey, King of Mexico, let's hear yours. That's him dying.
You tapered off towards the end there. Yeah, we don't want Chewie to die.
Mm-mm.
Was that him?
That was Chewy.
Oh, I was going to say Dave.
You think it was Dave? No.
You really stepped up
no,
there.
No, you heard Dave.
Oh, good Lord. By the way, if you have a Twitter account, change your password immediately, if not sooner. What happened yesterday was there was a bug that meant that Twitter passwords were stored and then unmasked in an internal log. So,
oh, no.
Yeah.
This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah. So basically, you could have had your password taken. However, no evidence that the passwords were actually compromised. But Twitter says, out of an abundance of caution, go ahead and change that Twitter password. It's kind of a big deal.
Sure.
If you're Twittering, you.
Oh, I mean, okay. And Bean, you saw your Twitter stock take a little dump after that came out yesterday, right?
And then I saw it go right back up to over 30.
Yes!
Just saying, I'm starting to look like the smartest man in the world to have only lost $15 a share on my initial purchase.
Are you the smartest man in the world if you're still losing $15
At one point, I was losing $30 right. a share. Now I'm only losing $15 a share. You tell me that's not going in the right direction.
It's going in the right direction.
It is, yeah.
I am telling you, by the time I'm 90, I may break even on this goddamn stock. Oh,
fingers crossed.
Way to shoot high, man. Gotta have goals.
Yeah. Some birthdays for you. Surf guitar legend Dick Dale, actor Will Arnett, sportscaster Aaron Andrews, singer Lance Bass, and Green Day bassist Mike Dirnt. And that's what's happening.
Greta Van Fleet on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ and Highway Tune. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. I already said that at 9:07.
And Allie, the average age of the kids in Greta Van Fleet is what, about 18 or something?
Maybe 19 or 20, maybe.
It's unbelievable you listen to those guys making that sound, playing that song.
Amazing.
And they're fine out there that young. All right, every Friday about this time, we have a feature that we love so much, and I'm glad you do too. It's called Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Once again today, excellent choices from you. Before we go to our texture number 100, number 99 was Donna in Riverside. We came very close to hearing her choice, which I would have been fine with, the great punk rock anthem, Los Angeles by X.
Oh, good. Mm. That would have been good.
And number 101 was Jamie in Westminster, wanted Bull in the Heather by Sonic Youth, another strong choice, but neither of them came in at number 100. That is going to be whom on the phone?
That would be Ramon. Good morning, Ramon.
Good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Allie.
What up, buddy? Morning.
How are you, sir? What's going on? Tell us about you.
I am ghetto fabulous.
All right.
You at work right now? Are you at work right now?
Yes, I am, unfortunately.
And how do they love you spending your time on the radio with K-Rock instead of being at your job?
Oh, man, don't burn me out. Dude.
Right?
But, yeah,
right?
It's cool.
All right. Well, listen, we gave you the opportunity to get us into the weekend with any song of your choice. If K-Rock played it, and we still have it, we're going to play it for you. What did you come up with and why?
Chemical Brothers, Block Rockin' Beats. Every time I would hear that when you guys played it back in the day, that just would get me going in the morning, and that's why I need it today. And so I got it.
You got it indeed. Thank you for calling.
Keep it 100. keep it 100.
Come on.
Thank you, Ramon from Los Angeles. By the way, Allie, you're usually pretty good at this game. When did Block, Rock, and Beats by the Chemical Brothers come out, please?
2005.
Allie, you're so bad at this.
Okay.
It was March of 1997.
No, sir.
Over 21 years ago that song came out.
You shut your mouth.
And even though we all sang along with Block, Rock, and Beats, it won the Grammy Award for the Best Rock Instrumental Performance. For my money, it has too many vocals to be an instrumental.
I agree. That's weird.
Apparently the Grammys disagree. An outstanding choice. Ramon in Los Angeles, thank you for choosing that for this week's Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
Swashing a destruction of all my material goods.
They're not doing anything.
Cat brought her dog in. Dogs in. Mm-hmm.
Hey, did the policy change while I was out where now it's okay to bring your giraffes and your hippos and just whatever you got into the building?
Yes, especially giraffes and hippos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because for a long time, the company said no pets allowed.
Right.
And now it's you're not allowed to work here unless you have a pet.
Correct. It has changed 180 degrees.
It's crazy, some of the showdowns in the halls now between all of these animals. All right, time for one final look at what's happening here on a Fri-yay. Allie McKay, you're up.
It's Friday.
Fri-yay, like
no,
you said, right?
No, it's not, Friday. No.
Mm-mm. Kat, where do you come down on the Fri-yay argument?
How many cocktails have I had?
You tell me.
That's what it depends on.
Okay. So
yeah.
Okay. If you're drunk, it's Fri-yay.
If I'm sober, no. Okay. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No. All right.
However, tonight, you can suck down a few cocktails at K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino.
Yay!
Not you kids, because it's
21
plus.
Or over, yeah.
How would you like a spot to play poker at Kevin's table tonight? Plus, you're going to get a rack of chips worth $200. If you are caller 21 right now, again, you're going to get a spot to play poker at Kevin's table for K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Plus that $200 in chips. 1-800-520-1067. Caller 21 must be 21 plus. Kevin's table. Though.
Always a good time. Always fun.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
Yeah, I don't.
There's rooms at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino.
Yeah. Just.
I'd love to, introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They won't be there. It's beer mug and it's
DJ
David
Omar Khan is going to be playing music.
Yeah, he might play.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert, do you know?
Just stay at the bike because it's all happening right at the bike. So thebike.com for my
And when does the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
Not till 9 p.m.
But you could
get going whenever you want.
Okay.
Sure.
The Hoff loves to rock.
I know you do. And I love you rocking. Good stuff. A few weeks ago, Florence and the Machine released Sky Full of Song, and everything was right with the world for 1 minute, and it was wonderful. Well, they've now released another song. The band released a new single called Hunger yesterday, accompanied by a music video, and announced that a new album is also on the way this summer. Would you like to hear a little bit of Florence and the Machine?
Yes, please.
Hunger?
I mean, it's a different direction for her.
Yeah, it's a departure. Yeah.
Oh, that's Yoko Ono.
That is not her.
It's Yoko Ono. That's my bad.
Tell me what you need. Oh, you look so free. The way you use your body, baby. Come on and work it for me. Don't let him get you down. You're the best thing I've seen. We never found the answer, but we knew one thing. We all have a hunger. We all have a hunger. We all
She's good.
What a voice.
Right? High as Hope, Florence and the Machine's fourth studio album, released June 29th on Republic Records. I like it. I like it a lot.
I do too. That's a good song.
By the way, U2 opened up their Experience and Innocence tour on Wednesday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. No songs from the Joshua Tree in the set.
What?
I know. So it's almost like they got sick of playing that whole tour, and they're like, never again with any of those songs.
Nobody goes to U2 hoping to hear With or Without You.
I mean, but having said that, they do also have huge smashes that were not on that album.
Absolutely. Kat, you went to see that show.
I saw it in Dublin. Yeah.
I saw it in London, and it was one of the most moving, beautiful shows I've ever been to in my life.
I
I teared up a little bit, and I never do that at shows. No matter how moved I am, I was kind of like, I'm in Ireland.
Yeah.
I'm with all these people, and they are doing this. And it starts in the daylight. Kevin, you've been to Ireland. You know, it doesn't get dark, so it's like this different vibe. It was amazing.
Yeah. I cried continually. Luckily, I was with producer Christine, and she was crying as well.
Oh, good.
And then Bean's wife, Donna, was there, and she was just recording the whole thing. So she did
the right thing as well.
Right?
Right?
I love her. She's like, what is wrong with these two?
Correct.
Yeah, it was amazing. So no Joshua Tree in the set, not even any of the major hits. But what they did do, a few surprises, including Acrobat from Tongue Baby, which U2 has never played live before. So maybe they're going to be doing some deeper cuts. No idea. But obviously the new songs, songs of experience.
And they're here next week, aren't they? I think it's... Are they?
Is it that quick?
What?
Am I hallucinating? Maybe it's a month from now.
Listen.
I'm in a time warp.
I don't know what's happening.
All right, fine.
It's either at noon or it's in a year.
Yeah, what?
We're not really sure.
I don't know what time it is.
We'll check on that and then I'll update you.
Soon.
What?
Okay.
Well, you know what? Kat's here to tell us all about the cool things that happen in and around L.A. What's going on?
Well, I've got something for a couple of you. Allie, I know that you share the love for anything Jim Henson.
Oh, my God. I already have my tickets, but go on.
Yes.
Yes.
So I just saw this myself, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It is the Jim Henson exhibition, Imagination Unlimited, at the Skirball, and it's... I've only seen a couple of pictures, but immediately it's, you know, him holding Kermit the Frog and, you know, all of these Sesame Street characters. I mean, you know, Kermit was my first crush, so.
Well, Fozzie Bear was mine.
Yeah, I know. I get it. You like the hairy ones. But so this is going down at the Skirball
right here
on June 1st.
Waka waka.
Thanks, Fozzie.
So what they're doing is that you can go anytime between 6 and 10 p.m. on June 1st. So put this down. They're going to do late night gallery hours. They're going to have a DJ. They're going to have roaming puppeteers walking around.
Awesome.
Food trucks, cash bar with all of Jim Henson's creations and, you know, pictures and puppets and whatnot.
Amazing.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, now let's move to The Bad Place and Bean, because I know Bean will love this.
The Bad Place.
I also love this as well. The John Wayne Gacy Art Exhibit.
Oh, tell me more.
Goodbye, Pogo.
No thanks.
This is going on next week on May 10th. It's at a gallery in downtown LA on 7th called Lethal Amounts. Bean, do you still have that Gacy painting?
I have two. I have one self-portrait and one Pogo.
And they both look like clowns, right? Pretty much?
I mean, Pogo is a clown.
Right.
Gacy didn't paint himself as a clown, but yeah, I mean, they're definitely in his style for sure.
I don't know how many. Do you know how many paintings he painted? Because they're worth a lot.
Hundreds, yeah. But a lot of some of his victims and victims' families and victims' groups bought up as many of them as they could and burned them all. So there are fewer all the time.
So you jumped in to save them.
I've had mine for a long time, but are they showing an exhibition of a bunch of his work? Is that what's happening?
I'm assuming that there's you know, stuff that's remaining behind. Perhaps maybe there's also some new fan art. But for those of you that are in the dark place, you should probably go to this event on May 10th. From noon
murder
to 7 p.m.
Don't misunderstand. He was a very bad man.
Awful, right. Awful, yeah, okay. But still fascinating.
But you love him.
No, I don't love him,
okay,
but I do enjoy his artwork.
Okay.
So that's a neat event.
Well, I thought those were two interesting things.
I think they should hold them at the same place at the same time.
Oh,
that's what I think.
I think it's two different audiences.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
A little bad.
The Gacy Henson exhibit.
Oh.
That I would go to, I feel like.
Oh, dare both of you.
Hey, just an update, Allie. I'm sorry before you move in, because we didn't want to confuse people. U2 is May 15th and 16th at the Forum, so it's really pretty close.
Yeah, so I wasn't off. All right.
Well, shocking.
Some birthdays for you. Dick Dale, Will Arnett, Aaron Andrews, Lance Bass, and Mike Dirnt. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Strikers, commercial free-for-all during your drive home this afternoon at 5 p.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Thank you, Kat.
Thank you, Bean.
Thank you, John Wayne Gacy.
Thank you, John Joy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why do some people tune out?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Sorry, I have to swallow.
Just like the other one.
Come on! What happened, man?
Some seems to be about to quit.
Damn.
And I need another hit.
Hey, Allie. I hope it's moist.
Roll another one.
Hey, can we get back to the funny?
Nope.
Just like the other one.
Elon Musk is the next guy to do it, probably, right?
Care about that.
And I don't have another cent.
So what did we learn today? White people in the suburbs love snitching.
But the whole goddamn joint.
I hate everything and everyone.
Just passing around.
The Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
And the whole goddamn joint, my friend.
What does that even mean?
Game over, man.
That was cool. Good guys. Funny. Something I will never be.
You know what? Get out of here. I'm serious. Go. Goodbye. Thank you very much. Assholes.
I really don't want to talk about it. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't want to comment on what happened. It sucked.
All right, Tip. We could be rapping about this all day, man. Why don't we just cut the beat off and let the people talk?
This is why I'm a podcast listener, so I don't have to listen to this nonsense, this awfulness. Good day.